Welcome to My Life as a Landlord, where we untangle all things housing and educate the curious. If you're looking for some entertainment with some honest, awkward conversations, you've come to the right show. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Salisbury. This is My Life as a Landlord. Welcome to it. Hi, hi. This is Dr. Jen, your host. My Life as a Landlord is the podcast you're listening to. I have five content buckets: tenancy issues, landlord issues, real estate development lessons, real estate investment lessons, and then other Salisbury adventures. My last name is Salisbury, and so then it's my family adventures. Today's episode, episode 9, as a real estate investor, why is credit critical? That is the number one important thing, not only as a real estate investor, but as anyone that is a consumer, is your credit rating. We'll talk more about that here in a minute. So just a reminder, an investor invests money for some kind of return, whether that's more money or feeling good or some kind of benefit. That's what a real estate investor, invests for some kind of return. But a developer, if you're thinking of a real estate developer, seeks the highest and best use for a piece of real estate. So there is a difference between a real estate investor and a real estate developer. So as a real estate investor, let's talk about credit. Let's talk about why credit is so important. What is it? What is this? What is credit? Everybody talks about credit. The word credit is in credit card. What is all this? What is it? And why should you care, really? So credit is a system that rates you on how well you pay your debts. Very simple. It's a number that rates your ability to pay your debts on time, over time. Let me say that one more time. Credit is a number that rates your ability to pay your debts on time, over time. I will tell you, if you are listening in Canada, the Canadian credit system, the numbers are different than in the US. So depending on where you are will depend on what the numbers are. So I'm not going to go specifically into the numbers, but just know that the credit systems are different, and it is the same rating. It isn't a rating of, you know, good, excellent, poor, okay. It is rates the ability to pay. Now, if you have no debt, meaning no credit cards, no mortgage, no loans, you work on cash, maybe you work at a bar and you get paid cash every day, guess what? You won't have very much credit. You might not have any credit at all, especially if you have a pay-as-you-go phone. You won't have any credit, and it's going to be very hard to justify when you go to apply for a credit card or a loan or a mortgage because you have no history. That's tough. And especially I see people who are young have a problem with no credit. But I have seen people who are not young, who are, you know, later in life, who have just had all cash forever. They've never paid for anything. They've never taken out a loan. They've had a pay-as-you-go phone that you get at either Walmart or some of these other ones that you don't take a contract out. You don't take a loan out. It doesn't report on your credit at all. And as a result, you have no credit. I've also seen new folks that are, say they're new immigrants, they're new citizens or new landed immigrants, wherever they are, there's no credit because they've not been in the country. And that can be a problem as well. So you want to make sure that if you are a young person and, or you're new to, let's say you want to buy a house, even if you're not young, let's say you're 30, 40, 50, you need to establish some credit, because if you can't prove that you pay your debts on time, it's going to be really hard for somebody to give you a loan or a mortgage. It's going to be difficult. Cell phone bills. This is the other thing I was saying, as a pay-as-you-go phone that you pay in advance will not report to your credit because it's paid for in advance. If you go and you take out a 2-year contract with a cell phone provider, let's say, and you agree to buy the phone and you agree to this, then it will report to your credit. And I've seen a lot of people get into trouble because they, let's say they miss a payment or they forget how to keep up with their payments, because quite frankly, most of the time people with a new cell phone, they've never done it before. So how do you actually fix that? So we'll talk about some of that here in a minute, but this is all, of course, talking about your personal credit. There is something called business credit. So if you have a company and the company can prove to pay its debts on time, over time, the company itself will have a business rating as well. That's different than personal credit. Most of the time, 98% of the time, when you say the word credit, you mean personal credit, but they are different. And I'll do a future podcast on business credit, because it's very interesting. When I learned there was a whole parallel credit system for businesses, I was floored. But personal credit. So what goes into personal credit? The time that an account is open, the debt to income ratio, because of course, if you're going to have personal credit, they're going to take notice of the income that you have and then the debt that's registered against that income. Most loan providers, most banking institutions will take a personal net worth for sure. They'll want to know, what do you have? What do you owe on what? Personal credit also can depend on the amount of credit that you have. Let's say you have a credit card limit of $10,000 and you pay it off every month. It will report that you pay it off every single month, that you're not keeping a balance. But let's say you keep a balance. Let's say you have a revolving balance on a card or a loan. And ideally, you'll hear different credit reporting agencies tell you something different, but usually you want to keep between 20 and 30% of the limit as a revolving balance. And why? Because it's just enough of a debt to prove that you can pay it. Kind of weird. Yeah, you're going to pay a little bit of interest, but you're proving that you can pay your debts. So that's kind of different. And then depends on the type of debt. Retail cards, a mortgage, student loans. A retail card is like Victoria's Secret, State Farm. There's a couple different ones that if it's a store-based one, and that usually the credit, the APR, the percentage rate for holding those cards is really high, like right around 30%. It's really high. That will impact your credit more than, say, a long-term debt that's registered like a student loan. That's different. Okay. So that's personal credit. Now there's other things that impact it. This is just a bit of a summary. So if you want to know more about that, I highly encourage you to go into credit. We'll talk a little bit more about how you can do that. But along with a personal credit, you get both a report and a score. Now, the score is what we've talked about, the number that rates your ability to pay your debts on time, over time. That's the score. But you want the story behind the score. That's almost as important as the score itself. So that's a little bit about credit itself. But why does this matter as a real estate investor? Because remember, this podcast is about real estate investment. As a real estate investor, you are investing in real estate for a return. And very likely you have other people or other institutions who are investing with you. And those other people, those other investors are wanting to make sure that you can pay your debts, that you've proven that you can pay your debts, which is called credibility. They want to make sure that you have credibility as a consumer, as someone who can pay their debts. The credit reporting, credit score, is usually accepted universally as someone being able to keep their word. Now, that's not always the truth, right? There's always exceptions. So just let me put that out as a blanket statement that it's one indicator. The credit score, the credit report, is one indicator of credibility. Now, I've seen inexperienced folks. Some of them are young, but again, I explained before about immigrants just coming to a country and they don't have a whole lot of credit. Folks that either are young or inexperienced, they fail with their credit because they're not sure of what it is. They have no idea how payments impact their credit. And I keep going back to that cell phone. I check credit on every single one of my tenants. I check them when I screen them. And the number one thing I see as a credit problem is a cell phone. Is they get a cell phone, let's say it breaks, they don't pay the bill because now they can't use the cell phone. They never settle that bill and they never settle the debt, which means the cell phone company then takes it to collections, says, hey, you owe me $600, $800, whatever it may be. And then the collector hounds them and it gets reported as bad credit on their credit report, credit score. And they just think that's it. And unfortunately, remember, this is a number, the credit is a number that rates your ability to pay your debts on time over time. It's a rolling report. As you progress, as you go, it reports the last 7 years. It can go longer. I've seen it go a little bit longer, but things fall off after 7 years. So if you have a cell phone bill that goes to collections and it's just there, it's not the end of the world. Remember, it will fall off and you can dispute it. The other thing that can happen is you could have life events, divorce, maybe your house burned down, a car accident, somebody had a change in health, maybe you had a change in health and it caused your debt to go up a lot. Let's say you had to do some medical treatments or do flights or get your car repaired and it was unexpected or something where your debt went way up unexpectedly. That will impact your personal credit. Now, when I am looking as a landlord and also as a real estate investor, I'm always looking, okay, what's the score? What's the story behind the score? This is no different. Is that if you can explain what your credit is all about, what's going on with your credit and how you're managing your credit, that is all part of credibility. So far we've talked about what is credit, why does it matter as a real estate investor, and that's credibility. And then let's talk about the third thing. How do you recover your credit? How do you recover it? Let's say you've made a mistake or you've had issues. You read your credit report. Read it. Go through it. Make sure it's right. I've read credit reports before, my credit report, and I go, wait a minute, I closed that years ago. That shouldn't be open. So you need to make sure you read it, and then you can educate yourself. If you want to dispute a charge, dispute a late fee or late something, dispute it, write a letter to the credit bureau that say this is a false claim. I don't agree with this. Or let's say it is a correct claim. Let's say you really did not pay that cell phone bill that you've been dreading. Work out a payment plan. Call them up and say, okay, I owe you $600. I can only pay you $50 a month or $30 a month, whatever it is. That will change how it impacts your credit. And they will report back to the credit bureau that you are, in fact, paying it off, making good on your debt, but have that awkward conversation and you can recover your credit. Now, in the US, you can buy your credit reports, you can get credit scores. Some credit cards actually offer your credit scores, your FICO credit score, depending on a credit card that you have, that you can get the score, but you can't get the report necessarily. So it may not be helpful. Remember, the score is only part of it. The report is only part of it. But you can buy them from Experian or Equifax or TransUnion. Yes, you can go to Credit Karma. And it just depends on how you want to do it. If you really want to get, if you're in the US and you really want to get a free credit report, just Google it. I'm sure a bunch of things will pop up, but be careful. Because if you're going to pull something for free, remember, nothing's for free. You might be able to get your credit score and or your credit report, but you might also be signing up for an automatic renewal every 7 days. You may be buying something that you don't realize you're buying. So just take a good look at that. In Canada, you can go to transunion.ca. There's companies like Borrowell. There's others as well that you can monitor your personal credit. Again, we're not talking about business credit in this podcast. We will in future. But what you're looking for is ultimately you're looking for a way that you can either learn for the very first time. If you've never read your credit report or you've never checked your credit score, I highly encourage that you do that. And especially if this is your first lesson in personal credit, make sure that you check your credit for the very first time. You've never done it. That's my call to action for you. If this is your first one, make sure you know what your credit score is and why. You can also read a book about credit. There's lots and lots of books about credit, especially for your personal area, wherever you are. If you're in Australia and you're learning about personal credit, I guarantee you there's a few books on personal credit, how to have good personal credit, what's the strategy, or if you've made a mistake and you need to recover your personal credit, how do you do that? Just Google it. I'm sure that there'll be some books that will pop up, and make sure you read it, right? This is a call to action. I'm not saying it for my health. I want to make sure that you are prepared as a real estate investor, that you have your credibility, that you read it. If you don't know what your credit report is, if you've never been in there, you want to make sure that you know that. As a real estate investor, Mike and I actually monitor our credit on a monthly basis. We pay for the monitoring. It's about $20 a month for each of us. I'm on Experian and he's on Equifax, and because we're in the US, we do most of our real estate investments in the US. And so every month we get charged our $20, but keep in mind the goal of having good credit as a real estate investor is that you have credibility. Whenever we go into negotiate a property, whether it's refinancing a property or we're buying a property, whatever it is, I will go in and I will automatically include our current credit report and current credit score for each of us, along with our credibility package. Even if they don't ask for it, I will throw that in because I know inevitably they will ask for it and I want them to be prepared. Sometimes the bank institution will have to do what's called a hard pull, meaning they actually have to go in and pull the credit report and pull the credit score, which we know that is coming. But what I normally do is when we're negotiating and say, look, here is my view of the credit, don't make that hard pull until you approve me. Because if they're going to turn us down, I don't want them to pull my credit, right? Okay, we've talked a lot about credit today. We talked about what is it? Why does it matter? How do you recover your credit? Your call to action. If this is your first lesson in personal credit, make sure that you know what your credit score is and why. And as a real estate investor, it's all about credibility. That's why credit is so critical. Next up, our next episode is all about other Salisbury adventures. And specifically, I'm going to talk about living on Maui. Yep, that's right. I'm going there. You'll want to hear our next episode. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us this week. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit our website at www.mylifeisalandlord.com. If you're looking for educational resources for getting into real estate investing, becoming a landlord, or even a better tenant, then I have a page on my website to get you started. Looking for a solution to the pickle that you're in? I have suggestions for that too. You can throw your situation on my Facebook group, My Life as a Landlord, and let our community help you with solutions also. Before you go, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. You can either subscribe right now in the app you're listening to this podcast on, or you can sign up at www.mylifeasalandlord.com. Thank you again for joining me, Dr. Jennifer Salisbury, in this episode of My Life as a Landlord. I'll see you next time.